Whoa, now, what's happening? This is the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith, speaking from the future about the past and the present. Man, go out there and have fun. Live your life. Enjoy it. Take those decisions that you wouldn't normally take. Decide on another option. Dream big. You got this. Ain't nothing that scary. I mean, there's some pretty scary shit out there, but, you know, if it's got to do with your dream, then you got that. Take that leap. Listen up and enjoy these words. Black Lives Matter. You can follow me at Maniacal Menace on Instagram or maniacalmenace.com. That's ManiacalMenace.
You're like a real Trish Sanders. No, your mom too. That's yeah.
Bad news.
Hey, y'all, go. Not gonna talk about some positive shit after that. All right.
That's a quick bad news for you.
What's up? Back again. God damn it, with another edition of Tell Me a Joke. The guideline of chasing the dream, and today I am here with the one, the only, the you have been all over with just your comedy. You're like a bigger sister in my comedy career, just for how much you've done and like how much somebody can learn from your process that you're taking. And the steps that you use to get there, because basically you're freelance.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I'm Laura Sanders. Hi. Laura Sanders. Yeah, I'm. I haven't had a 9-to-5 since like 2010.
Ooh.
And I've been very poor ever since, but it's been pretty fun.
As long as it's fun, that's all we're looking for. That's all everybody's looking for. So, how long have you been wanting to be a comedian?
I first started wanting to be a comic in like college. I feel like it was
in college.
So that was back. I started the first comedy performance I ever did was in Jesus. I'm gonna sound like an old withered hag in this. Was in 2007. I'm pretty sure I did like a college comedy competition.
Really?
Yeah. And like, and I knew like a couple years before that I was thinking about it. I was like a speech team kid in high school, so I was like performing. Yeah.
You didn't mind being in front of the stage.
No, yeah. I like did student council, and I like loved doing the speeches. I like loved doing that stuff. And so then when I got into college, I didn't do speech and debate anymore. And so I was kind of like, oh, I want to do something like that. I like to talk and have people listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome. That's awesome. I was I never realized that I wanted to do any of this. So like, just for it to dawn on me and be like, oh, let's get into it. It was kind of like reassuring that, all right, this is probably where I should be, since
it clicked.
Yeah. Since it took so long to click, like, and see, it came for you in college. So what, when you were growing up, how was your childhood?
It was very like, unlike many comedians, I had like a pretty, mm-hmm. Rockwell, pretty happy little time.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird when comedians like had a good upbringing.
Yeah. And I grew up around a lot of kind of performance as entertainment we weren't like listening to stand-up records and stuff, but like my mom directs musicals and my parents both met when they were like, they were both theater majors in the 70s. Okay. And so, and my family's like, literally every Christmas, like, writes out stories from their childhood and reads them aloud.
Like a Christmas tradition.
Yeah, that's like, Christmas tradition is, like, being loud and talking a lot and, like, joking around and
so
all that
stuff.
So
you was raised in this kind of field anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It was, like, public speaking was never something in my house that seemed, like, daunting. It seemed like everyone in my family was pretty much, like, give me more of that. I want to talk and have everyone listen.
That's awesome. That's, yeah. Hence why the real tight-knit family that you have, and like the camaraderie that y'all have, especially when it comes to y'all playing board games. Like,
yeah.
Yes, you're
we were talking about board games the other day. Oh my God,
the attention span that you have for some of these games, like especially if you don't know. For me, looking on the outside, whenever I've seen them play, one of their infamous games that I've learned that since they've came down here is Catan.
Yeah, you picked Catan.
I never knew about Catan or what it was. I've seen people do it before, but I never cared to ask because I was like, I don't know, is that wheat? That doesn't look like it's going to interest me. I'm going to just keep going until y'all started playing. And I was like, oh, this is really intriguing. I like this. And then you y'all taught me the ropes. And I was like, oh, all
right. And you fit right in.
Yeah, I can see how we can just sit here, just shoot the shit, or just sit here quietly thinking about strategies. And
yeah, I like to have like an activity. I feel like it's because I feel I was talking about this with Andy Scantrino, like he popped by over Christmas, and I was like, it felt weird to just be sitting the whole time and not doing anything, like because everyone, we just had a kind of like a hangout Christmas where everyone was like listening to some music, just chatting the whole time. And I realized when it was done, I was like, why did I feel so antsy for some of that? And it was because we weren't playing a board game. And I'm like, that's how I'm used to interacting socially with my family.
That's awesome. That's like my cousins and them. They were homeschooled and they had a TV, but they would only watch the TV on the weekends, and they only had 3 channels.
So oh, damn. So they weren't like that tempted to watch it. Yeah,
not at all. Yeah. Like me growing up, I always had a TV and video games and everything. They didn't have any of that. So like one of my cousins, she taught herself how to play the guitar, like just before YouTube, you know. Just,
oh, wow. Yeah. How did anybody learn anything?
Exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Like, she went to the library and got a book of, like, how to play the guitar.
She punished herself, basically. That's what I call it. When you just go to your room and just, you know, learn some shit, I call that punishing yourself. And that's what she did. And she learned how to play the guitar. My other cousin is basically, like, very intelligent. It is wild how, like, they read a lot. They read a lot, and they used to bake and shit. So every time I would over there, like, I wouldn't be prepared. I'm like, man, what we gonna do, man? Y'all watch TV? Oh, my God. And that's when the board games and stuff come out, and all the other, like, arts and crafts and stuff that you can do. And then baking. That's the first time I ran into ooey gooey butter.
Ooey gooey cakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
They made that. They used to make that at the house. And I was like, well, this is amazing. I would have never thought to open a cookbook. Like, straight from the cookbook, you just reading shit. And she's like, yeah, grandma gave me this cookbook. I was like, our grandmother gave me this? I didn't even know. Like, I wouldn't have delved into any of that shit because I'm stuck on TV and
but
cartoons.
You had, like, the Animaniacs, you know? Like, yeah. It's like, and then had, you gotta think it's like...
I did have the good... But most of the time, I would go outside and play. That was my thing to do.
That you were like... Would you just kind of... I feel like there was kind of some kids... I was one of these kids where you'd just be like... All right, I'm going to go outside. And then you just be outside until, like, nighttime, basically. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, come on back in. Like, go
adventure.
Wander around.
I definitely was one of those kids that made up adventures. Like,
did you climb trees? You come off of someone? Like, because gymnastic. I imagine as a kid you were like, I'm doing this already.
We used to play this game called Catch One, Catch Them All. And it's basically where it's tag, but the first person that's it catches the next person, and that next person that he catches is on his team. And
So
you catch one and you catch them all. And that was a game that we had played because it was a lot of kids in the neighborhood, and it was that was the fun thing about growing up, especially when you got kids your age in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
And this is one time where we was playing this game and I decided to climb a tree. And as I decided to climb this tree, I was up in the tree, and my brothers and them, they already did it, but you know, I'm a lot smaller than them. So
yeah.
in my backyard, we had this pine tree, and next to the pine tree, they had an awning with a little swing under it and everything. You could kind of like go from the pine tree to step over to this little ledge, this little 2x4 ledge that would hold like a bird feeder or something.
Yeah.
On it. And then you'd be able to step onto the awning, and like they were long enough to where they could step on it. And me, like, they was like, hey, come on, Kyle, he's not gonna catch you. So I climbed the tree and I tried to go ahead and step on it, but I couldn't because I had to like hop over.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't have the stretch distance at all. And like I'm like at least two stories up, because I judge it because we had a two-story house, and I'm like almost to the top of it before I can step over. And as I go to step over the top ledge that I'm holding, the top branch that I'm holding on to, that motherfucker breaks. And then the one that it was like a pause. You know how like on
Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah.
He like looks down. And it's like,
oh shit. And then the branch that I'm standing on breaks, and then I fall and I drop and I break three branches on the way down and I land on my back.
I thought you were gonna say like ribs or something.
Oh yeah, no, it was okay. Actually, I don't know. I didn't feel anything. I actually bounced up. I bounced up off the ground. Like I hit the ground, bounced up, and landed on my feet, and then took off. I ran after that. So much adrenaline was going through my body.
Yeah, that's like
I fell out of tree just now.
Did you land on like? I feel like pine trees have like the pine needles that go on. Did you land on like a soft pine needle bed?
I think I might have.
Okay, that could have been. I've seen my brother fall out of a pine tree before, and he like popped up, and you're like. That looked like you were going to explode. Yeah. Like, as a kid, too, you picture them, like, exploding, like, when a car falls off a cliff. But it's just like, whoa, and then they just exploded. And then they're just like, no, I just fell.
Yeah.
It just fell on some pine needles.
That's a good thing. Yeah, because when I did land, it didn't hurt at all. Like, I got up and I just ran. And, like, yeah.
That's so funny.
Pine needles. A bed of pine needles could have...
Pine trees are the perfect climbing tree because they are like little ladders. They're easy to climb. And then they give you a little soft landing spot.
A little cushion at the bottom. Yeah, a little perfect cushion climbing is what I needed. Tree. I'm glad I fell like a pro wrestler, because if I didn't have any wrestling skills, I could have definitely fell on my neck how far
Oh,
I fell.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You well, did all kinds some, of turned around.
I did some dangerous things as a child. And, you know, but none of it said, hey, you're going to be a comedian, so just keep up the dumb shit.
Now, you were a performer, like, you do, like, poetry and, like, all kinds of performance. Like, what, did you do those things first, and then later you're, like, comedy clicks? Or, like, all at once were you, like, I want to perform?
Oh, no, like, I at first it was just me writing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I used to always write poems and like, I would write rhymes and shit. And from there... It never dawned on me that I would like want to recite them to anybody, because most of the time I would write poems about like girlfriends that I had.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that. So I'm like, oh, this
that's
is
totally the like high yeah. school poet. Yeah.
I would do that. I would do shit like that, and I would draw them little pictures and all that. But you know, none of it ever like really clicked that I would really be a. I didn't like to hear my own voice. So it was very frightening to get up in front of people and just start. Like reciting something that I wrote, unless I was really proud of it,
vulnerable.
Yeah, that never clicked for me until I got to college, to where I actually had a creative writing. I had a creative writing class before I got to college, and I got to college and I took speech or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I actually had to stand up in front of people and speak some shit, and so. I wrote about, I know one of the things that we had to talk about is, we had to pick a topic and write either if you argue for it or if you argue against it. And I was like, I'm against us going to the moon. And then I got up and I wrote something for that. And I had a friend, he was a DJ and he mixed a whole bunch of old school shit. And I had a rap that led into the old school shit, and I was like, whoa.
You had a rap about how you were against going to the moon?
Something like that. I forget what the hell I did, but, like, it was a big, elaborate thing, and I was like, man, that was going to be my first time actually getting up on stage, or getting up in front of people presenting something that I...
But you made it, like, a multimedia event.
Yeah, I did. I was kind of proud of it, but it just... Then right
was
then
that
there,
like the
I
bug
still...
hit you then? Like that you were like,
no,
I wanna. Oh, okay.
It still didn't hit me. It still didn't hit me. All of it was just coming together. Like this might be something I would want to do, but it never dawned on me to go do comedy.
Like, yeah, because I feel like some kids are like, when I was 8, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And I like listened to stand-up comedy records, and I knew that's what I wanted. I feel like in high school was the first time I started talking about it, being like, oh yeah, I like with my friend Kristen, we were like, we're both gonna be stand-up comics. But it wasn't like that feeling of like there's so many stand-up comics who are like, this was my life.
Yeah, no, I
when
never,
I was yeah.
I remember BT's Comic View used to come on, and I was like, oh man, I really liked, and Like, thinking about it now, when it came on, I would always watch Comedy View because it was really good, but it never hit me that that's what I was going to do.
Because, like, I'll watch synchronized swimming and really like it, but I'm not like, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, like, exactly. I thought I would be in the X Games. I really thought I was going to be in the X Games for aggressive inline. And I wanted to do the vert and shit. But then, like, as I got older, my nerves got worse. And so, yeah, doing crazy shit like that is out of the question now. I used to flip off houses, and I was like, why would I do this now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, because when you're little, your body just, like, bounces back, no problem. So you're also, like, sure.
Also, when you're little, like, your parents take care of your insurance and shit. And right now, I realize that I have no insurance. So if I fuck myself up, well, that's all on me.
Yeah, that's, like, when even... I have insurance, but it's terrible. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't. I'm like, just stay real healthy, Laura. Like, you gotta just stay real. Yeah. I know.
I just like to be real careful out here in these streets. It's just stupid shit can happen, and then, like, if you can't afford the dumb shit, that's
there's a phrase: if you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
Yeah, I've seen my 600-pound life, and I've seen how dumb shit happens to them, and how they get so big after a while. It's like, oh, you rolled your ankle one day and was just like, fuck it, I'm not going to walk no more.
Right. Well, yeah, like injuries, it's like fucking, it's terrible.
I don't think I want to deal with any of that. So I try to be real careful, because out in LA, I try to go and try out for the Clippers dunk team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which the tryouts was nice, you know, but I understood, like, I'm a lot older than a lot of these people that are trying out. Let me just get through these tryouts.
Yeah. You
know? I was like, if I get through the tryouts, I'm fine, because, like, it doesn't even matter if I make the team or not, which I didn't. I did make the team, but, like, during the tryouts, at least two people were out after the trial. One guy rode his ankle terribly bad, and he's one of the people that's on the team. And I was like, you're already on the team. You don't even need to be doing this. Yeah. You fucked your ankle. He fucked his ankle.
It's so scary when it's like body dependency.
Oh, man. My eyes watered when I seen it. I was like,
oh no. That's... Oh,
that, yeah, you are hurt, sir. He was done for the day. And another guy, I think, landed on his head on the mat or something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, well.
I'm older. I'm trying to be careful. Did you
watch
as
what I could do.
As an you said you're older than most of the people there?
Yeah, I think I was I was probably the oldest.
Did you feel like Aunt Viv in that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode where she's like in a dance studio class?
Oh yeah. And trying to keep up with all
and
the
And all like the young girls are being really shitty to her, and then she's like, watch this. And then she like gets out of the door and just like, I just rewatched that the other day. So I was like, it's just like that. Was just like Aunt Viv.
Something like it. Like, but everybody was cool, because some people, like, I can still hold my own when it comes to flipping and all that, but other people, they're doing other shit. Like, you know, there's a world of tricking, so people spin their ass off and do kicks and shit. So I tend to keep it basic, you know, real old school. Like, watch, let me show you how Pops did it back in the day. You know, hit a few basic shit.
Like, we don't need all that newfangled.
Yeah. Look, I can give you real basic and then be funny as shit. I think that's what gave him a little gleam in the eye. Towards the end, I did a little bit, and it was like, oh, we like this. We like this. How far do you stay? I was like, I stay really far. And it was like, oh. And from then on, it was like, all right. But I kind of understood. Like, if I didn't make it off my charisma, it was like, all right, it didn't need to be done. So that's good because that's just like playing with the snake. Eventually, you're going to get bit. And
it's going to bite your ankle.
I don't know what their insurance is like, but eventually I would have rolled something. And whew.
And then you're hosed.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I'm done after that. It's like, what do we do? Go sit on the sofa and eat these pills. Thanks, Doc. All right.
Yeah. You're like, but I once was a dunk team champion. Yeah. And you just have, like, your photo album from the 3 months that you worked there. And you're like, this is all before my ankle went. But No, it is weird, like, getting, because we're not old. Like, we're in our 30s. We're still considered very young in the grand scheme.
Right.
But it's just weird to be aware of body injuries now. Yes. Because I do feel like teens, 20s, you're just like, I feel like I was always aware of my body and that, like, women are taught to, like, hate themselves real young. But, like, I feel like you weren't aware of, like, limitations of, like, injury or health. You were just like, oh, I want to look a certain way because I want to fucking buy Delia's clothes or whatever.
I get more nervous now that I get older. Like, oh, man, I could just imagine, like the way my bones hurt now. If I take, like, a real hard fall, that would suck. Just to, like, I avoid just falling all the way down nowadays. Like, I get nervous like, when my mama goes upstairs.
Not falling down. Yeah. Main goal.
Just be careful. Like, all types of shit is out there to fucking trip you up. I seen somebody twist their knee because they tripped on a crack outside. I'm like, oh, we getting old. Yeah.
No, that's my sister slipped on some ice and straight up her ankle shattered.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
She's still dealing with it. Like, it's so crazy that you can just, like, because now she has, like, arthritis in her ankle. And she's tough as shit about it. She, like, truly never complains. But if I ever had something like that, I would complain constantly. She's like so cool. She'll be like, oh, it's like a little sore or whatever. And I'm like, if I had arthritis in my 30s in my ankle, I would be like, someone give me a like a medal. I want like a trophy for my bravery.
I deserve this.
Yeah.
I deserve to be petty about this situation.
Yes.
Please let me grieve about this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Please give me.
I'm wondering why, like, both of my shoulders are just done for. Like, they're just shot to shit. I gotta turn certain ways just to sleep. And I'm like, is it my head that, is it just all in my head that I'm thinking that my shoulders hurt like this? And then I do something, and I'm like, no, it's my shoulders itself. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
There's exercises that I should do, but I only know one of them, and it's something that I probably should keep up with, but I haven't been keeping up with it. And when the cold comes, especially, I don't know why is. I don't know why. It's so weird. It's so weird how the body works and how the world works against you sometimes. Because when the cold is here, you definitely know. And yeah, my shoulders just they don't agree with me.
You're feeling like crickety.
Yeah,
like you're a crickety old shoulders.
Definitely. I turn certain ways, and it just feels uncomfortable. I'm like, well, all right, if I do these exercises, I know it'll go away, but I don't think about doing them.
I need an app to, like, yell at me. I need, like, a constant outside. Like, I'm trying to do, like, I'm doing, like, the Duolingo download again, where I'm trying to, like, learn Spanish again.
Again.
Mm. I try to learn in high school. Like, I am very bad at learning languages, and I really want to learn Spanish because I feel like it's just, like, a good skill to have. I want to be, like, welcoming to people that speak Spanish. I want to be able to chat with them. I just feel like, but the Duolingo app, like, reminds you constantly. It's like, hey, you didn't do it yet today, and then they send you an email, and I, like, need that to keep any sort of habit up. I need this, like, annoying thing to be like, hey.
I was like, oh, you're aggravating, Sam.
Yeah.
I have undownloaded your app because you took up too much space, and I needed the space.
Yeah.
And that was one of the excuses I had for using it. But now I'm giving the excuse that I'm going to try to learn music theory. And that's like a different language itself.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm just going to keep practicing at this bass and just rattling away at it and hoping that it clicks one day because, man, it is not clicking right away.
No.
I've also did Spanish. I've taken Spanish in high school. I took Spanish in college. Well, I took it, and then I was like, I got to wake up too early for this shit. And then it's 3 hours. I dropped it. I was done with that. But, like, I took it enough to where I thought, you know, I'd be able to easily pick it back up, which is, I can, kind of.
It helps to have the base.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
But I just haven't stuck to it. Just like, oh, this is what I'm going to continue. Because, yeah, I see people in actually working out in L.A. for that amount of time, especially being on a job site with everybody Mexican. I definitely felt like, man, I probably should have just put a little bit more.
Yeah. Because it's just like a human conversation thing. Like, you want to, well, because also there's like a lot of Spanish speaking countries that I want to travel to at some point. And I'm like, My family went to Tulum. It was beautiful. We had a great time. None of us spoke any sort of Spanish. Like we spoke enough to be like, I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
But like, that seems just like, it feels like an asshole move. Yeah. To like, be like, thanks for having me. Didn't bother to pick up your language. Even a little bit. Just like, can you speak American? Like, it just feels very shitty. And so I'm like, okay, you maybe your reward for learning this language can be going to those places.
Oh, there you go. That is a good way to look at it. Because, I just give up. But I think that is one of the languages that is more frequented that you would run into now.
Yeah.
You know, you don't run into any other. I don't run into many other languages. I haven't really been many places, but you know, most of the languages in the places that I have been has been some sort of Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of places, how many places have you been to?
Just play all the places I've been to in my life.
Well, no. Well, okay. Let's put it this way: in dealing with comedy.
Oh, okay. How many places have I like performed in?
Yeah.
I haven't made like a list. So I don't know. I've only performed in the U.S. I've never performed outside of the U.S. But I performed in a lot of states. I'm trying to think. Probably some of the bigger ones I haven't performed in are like, I've never gone up to like Portland or Seattle or those places. I feel like those are pretty major scenes. I've never been to like Montana or the Dakotas, but I performed a ton of different just throughout because I started comedy in Ohio, and so there you have just like a ton of surrounding states, and so you end up doing a bunch of stuff there, and then I toured some, so that kind of like hit between Ohio and Louisiana, like all the like Tennessee and that stuff. What is a good way to
go about touring? Like, should you do festivals first? Should you try to get into festivals, or should you just go places that you know people at? Like,
I feel like it's a mixed bag. Festivals can be really, really fun, and they can be also very expensive. So I feel like it depends on the festival, because I've performed in some that I'm like, this was incredible. And festivals are really great ways for meeting a ton of comics from all over the place at once. So you can like meet people. And then if you get along later when you're booking a tour, it's really helpful to be like, oh, hey, you, I met you here, so I'm going to go. But as far as, I feel like some people, I just feel like everyone who thinks it's all one way or all the other way is completely wrong. So like, because there's some people that are like, of course, festivals, you got to do as many festivals as possible. And I'm like, that's not an option for some people, whether it's work or whatever. And then some people are like, never do a festival. They're all scams. They're all bullshit. And I'm like, well, that's also not true. So I feel like a mix is good. I haven't done a ton of festivals, but I've really liked the ones I've done. And it's like, it's just like fun. Like if you look at a festival as this will be a lot of fun and I'm meeting a lot of comics, then that's a healthy outlook. If you look at it as like, and this is all just in my opinion, but if you look at it as like, this is going to change my career, I have to do it because of XYZ.
That's not the route, it can,
but I feel like it's just not a health. Like you have to just look at it as like, I'm going to have the most fun possible. I'm going to get to perform and I honestly think building a career is just like thousands and thousands of tiny moves. Like, I used to very much think like, I'm going to make it because of this. And I'm like, there's no moment where someone's like, and now you've made it because you unlocked. It's not like a cheat code in a video game where it's like, it's like, oh my God, thank goodness you went to this festival in Florida because behind this door was the diamond that started your whole career. I feel like it's a bunch of little stuff and you can build it however you want. I'm kind of like a career turtle though. I'm like very slow and steady. So if someone was like really ambitious and was like, I'm trying to like make it, I'm trying to get on TV in like 3 years, well then yeah, they'd probably approach it a lot differently than I did, because I like,
you got your wheels going now.
I've got wheels going, but they're going slow. They're just turning. I've always been I don't like to be rushed. It's always been like, my mom told me stories when I was a kid, if she like tried to rush me to get my shoes on, I would like freak out and slow down. I just like really like
I can imagine
that. I don't like to be rushed. I don't like someone to tell me to hurry up. And so I feel like I'm doing my career the same way, where it's like, where I'm like, okay, by the time I'm like, I always used to set these like really intense goalposts. I used to set like John Mulaney pace goalposts where I was like, at 26, I want to have this, at this, I want, and I'm like, don't do that. That's like very cruel to yourself. And so now I have a lot of the mindset. My grandma was an incredible portrait artist, and she didn't even start doing like paintings like in that formal way till she was like, she didn't start until she was like 40.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh yeah, it's not, there's not like a certain timeline that needs to be held. Right. So I feel like because of that,
people don't know. They don't understand that.
It's like a build your own.
Right.
Do I wish that my timeline was sped up? Sure. In a lot of ways. Do I see a lot of people that I was like performing with before and they're like, here's my TV spot. I'm doing it. I'm on Conan now. I'm like, oh, that, it burns a little.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
in the long run, I'm like, oh, I live in a city that I really like. I have relationships that I really value, and that it's like a balancing. And so I'm turtling it.
Yeah, that's why all this works in here. That's why I understand how all, hey, look at that guy.
Oh, hey.
This it's exciting.
Hello, David's the podcast. There's a David outside the door.
Yes, it has been, that I can see, all right, I can see why all these mindsets click, because you, I put you in the category of one of those writers, the people that like, your comedy is like fine-tuned to the T. You know, you specifically know exactly which route you're taking and what's going to hit where, and it's just like bow, 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 and you know how to take the momentum. I've seen this from you, because I was like, oh, this is somebody that knows who's got it, because after I got off stage, and a lot of people come up to me, especially after I get off stage and shit, and they'd be like, god damn it, Kyle, now I gotta follow that. And it's like, I'm sorry, just because I am fucking wild and rambunctious, and I
you have like a very specific energy.
I bring a different energy to the crowd, so like most people don't know how to like I guess regulate that or shift that. And I've seen you, especially after all of that, come up on stage and do something to where it was like magic, and it was boom, then the crowd was just boom with you. Like from then on, and it was an instant in the beginning. Like you seen like the rambunctiousness of everything, like still settling down. And when you got up there, you brought it to where they were attentive towards you, and then that you just rode it through with your pace. And I was like, oh shit, that is magic. That is like taming a dog right there. I was like, a dog that's not yours. This is not your dog.
Yeah, just and like you, a loose dog. Yeah.
And you made that motherfucker sit down and roll over. It's like, hold on, I can't even get him to roll over. Like, wow, okay.
That is always, it's like such a weird, especially showcase shows where everybody's doing like 8 minutes. It's such a weird energy shift to have to like be like, okay, now please like me, even though it's different.
Right.
It's like very different than what you just experienced. I feel like it's eating just like a giant disjointed meal sometimes where it's like, oh, did you like that mint chocolate chip ice cream? We've got some pad thai for you next. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. I like both those things, but I wasn't ready for them in this order.
For the combination.
Like right after the other one. Can I have like a glass of water? Water in between or something, and you're
some
like, no.
Some ginger to cleanse my palate.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you. I didn't even notice. I feel like I don't notice that I do that, but it's just like such a self-serving survival skill to be like, everybody, I know you like Kyle, but you gotta like me too, because I'm up here now. So like, shut it up.
I was like, wow. But there's certain things that I think, because it's always in the moment, I guess like, smelling your own farts, like you don't smell it, but other people smell it.
Yeah,
like you being on stage, you doing something that other people don't, like you don't see, but other people see clearly.
Yeah,
yeah, it's things like that, and that was one of the things that I was like, wow, like and it's the subtle things that I look at, because like I read the room and read the energy of how things are going, and so. Just to see the shift of that, like most people probably can't see it. It's like a behind the curtains type of thing. But if you can definitely feel, especially from being on stage, you definitely feel the energy of how things are and how things go. And like you can definitely feel the shift of things, and you can see it. You can see it as well. So it's an amazing thing to see how it goes down, to see how things happen. Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording. Sorry, he's been growling at the door. Sorry, everyone on the podcast. My dog's been growling at the door because I think he has to poop. So I was trying to let him out, and I tried to do it smoothly, but I didn't at all. I did a bad job. No, but it is. I feel like the thing you're saying about how like comics can see it and other people, because I don't think other people are supposed to see it.
No.
Like, I feel like I'm a graphic designer also, and so, like, I talk about how, like, really good design, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you just get the message. Like, I, like, my friend Mark was talking about, I was talking about stop signs. So you don't look at a stop sign, and you're like, wow, that's, like, really legible. And even when I see it from far away, I know what it is. You're just like, cool, stop, got it. And I feel like the same with it. With a really good performance, you should never see the strings. You should just be like, oh, I've laughed a lot, and I feel taken care of.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be like, oh, and the artistry that they put into this, it should just be like, wee, I had fun.
It was a wild ride that we went on, and I'm glad I got to raise my hands during the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't have to, like, grab onto my seat. Right. Like, yeah. I know, that's why, like, I love going to, like, a really good show. Yeah, you just feel like you're someone, you feel taken care of.
Yeah.
You feel very, like, I'm not nervous for any of the performers. I know they're good. I even know if, like, a piece of the venue fell down right now or something went really weird, they could handle it because they're just, like, that good.
Right.
Yeah.
It does feel good, especially when there's a good host that's able to corral the crowd. And actually,
it's so important.
Oh, man, that is very important.
Because a bad host will ruin.
Ooh, we're ruining an entire show.
It'll ruin you. They'll ruin a week for you. Yeah. You can, a real bad host.
You could have two or three good shows that happen that day in that one show just because that host is terrible at what he does and just leaves the crowd in an array. It definitely will fuck up how you feel for the rest of the week. I was talking about that the other day. Just like, oh, that one show that went terribly wrong. That even after all the other good shows, like, I had really good shows.
Oh yeah, this stick
one
out.
Is the one that I'm thinking about the most now. And I hate having to reminisce on the
bad times. Yeah. If they're really terrible, it's kind of funny. Eventually, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was just talking about a time when I, like, bombed hard in front of my dad for 30 minutes. And I was like, 30 minutes or you don't get paid thing. So I was all right, folks, we're going to just keep on. It was like my dad and five or six other people in a hotel bar in Michigan. And we had, like, been up visiting family in Michigan. So he's like, I'll drive down with you. We'll, like, pop in, do the show. And I, like, got lodging at the hotel that the hotel bar performance was in that night. And so it's like, we'll crash there and then we'll continue our drive in the morning. And I realized that it was going to be a constant bomb for, like, 5 minutes in. And I was like, okay. It was just like a, and it's so funny to me now. Cause even, like, the next day my mom called and was like, how's Laura's show? How did it go? And my dad was like, oh my God, it was so amazing. She did incredible. And then he just started going, and then he goes, sorry, I retch when I lie. And he was like, she was horrible. And he just, like, made fun of me to my face about how bad it was. And I was like, it was so comforting. It was, like, the most comforting, because we're, like, our family, like, we're a bunch of shit talkers. So, like, the fact that he didn't find it so serious that he couldn't just laugh at me in my face about it, I was like, you're right. It's not that big of a deal.
No.
Like, it was a bomb. And so, and I respect him more for seeing it as such, because now I know if he says I do a good job, he's not, like, delusional. But it was just like, you're like, oh yeah, you bomb. And then the next day you wake up and you'll probably bomb again within 6 months. Like, it just happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible when you have somebody that doesn't see it. I see that you've done a terrible job. I have a friend that's like that. I'm pretty sure it's called Dunnegan's disease or something like that, where they don't see the terrible, like, shallow Hal syndrome. I call it shallow Hal and see the flaws. All they saw was the goodness. And it's, I have a friend that was like, oh, you didn't see that I got booed. You didn't see that they didn't like me at all. You thought that was a great job, like,
oh my God.
really, like, my body hurts right now. I have a headache. I can't deal with these emotions right now. And you honestly thought that was a good job?
And they're, like, trying to bring up really specific things. You're like, no, like, your energy was good, and you're like, it went badly. Stop talking about it.
What are you trying to save? What are you trying to save yourself? Because I already feel bad. I went through that just now. Like, there's no.
And I don't want someone to think that's... Mary Devon has a beautiful joke about this, about, like, when there's a really bad picture of her, that the worst thing you can say is, like, that looks just like you. Like, and I feel like it's the same way of, like, if someone bombs, they're like, no, that was good. You're like, you better not think that's me doing good. Because, like, yeah. You think that's what I'm capable of? Like, that's...
Oh, wait till it is good then, sir. If this is what you think was really good, because this was terrible.
Yeah, this I was just, yeah.
I prefer just people just, you know, not even, I see the certain people when you do a terrible job, they don't try to make eye contact with you because mm-hmm. they feel it. I was like, oh, you feel that too? And you just, people just look away like, oh, he's...
Yeah,
oh, he's right there.
That's why I think I liked my dad just person. Like making fun of me. It felt better being like, ooh, you bomb. Yeah. Like even other comics, it feels so much better when they're just like, that was bad mm-hmm. than to be like, it's all right, buddy. Because I'm like, don't feel bad. No. Don't pity me. Just
no.
Make fun of me and move on.
Yeah, I understood how that went. Like, I feel it.
Yeah, I was there. Too. I was there more than anyone was.
Yeah, like, I appreciate the people that come by and, like, that understand that, you know, it went terrible and just go...
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know about that. Okay, yeah. You felt that too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thank you for making me feel like a person and still here. Everybody else pretends like I'm invisible now after a terrible bombing. They decide not to even look at you. Be like, oh, this is there a ghost in here or something?
Yeah.
it's drafty. Mm.
I have a friend who, that comedy competition I did in college, she didn't watch stand-up comedy for years after because someone bombed so hard that she was like, I can't. Like, she was like, I can't even risk seeing something like that again.
Oh, my God.
Just like, because also, like, these weren't, like, seasoned comics who know mm-hmm. how to deal with it. It was, like, people who have done comedy a few times. But then, because it was Ohio State, there was, like, this big budget where they'd bring in, like, Mark Curry was one of the judges.
Mark
like
Curry.
Mr. Cooper was there judging my stand-up comedy. Like, it was just very like, because Ohio State has this big budget, so they're like, we're gonna make it an event where like these comics perform, but then they're also the judges for this competition.
Are they local from there, or are they just bringing people?
No, they're just like bringing people in. Oh, Hal Sparks was there. It was like a very weird like mix of people. So he just like bombed so hard. And I was an RA at the time, and he was my resident, so I had, like, extra care. And my friend had, like, made out with him before, and she was like, why have I? Like, it was just,
it was a tragic
time. I remember it now, and that was, like,
what,
13 years ago?
Wow.
And I still remember.
Oh, no, yeah, those are the ones you don't forget about.
Yeah, I remember his first and last name, but I won't say it on the podcast.
Yeah, that's a stain in the brain right there.
Like, he did not go on to a life of stand-up comedy, though.
I'm pretty sure not after that. Not after that.
Yeah.
I've been put in some sticky situations myself before. Like, in school, not even before knowing what was what with comedy, one of the teachers, because apparently I couldn't keep my mouth shut, and one of the teachers was like, oh, you Mr. Funny Man, huh? Well, let's take you out of third grade class and put you in this fourth grade class and have you in the front. And they said, oh, be funny. I was like, excuse me?
Did you get bullied by your teacher?
Oh, the teachers. Oh, my God. These nuns, all right, because it was a Catholic school. These nuns used to just pretty much try to fuck over me. Like, from what I've gathered ever since I've been St. Rosalie. St. Rosalie, the goddamn school.
You're like, I will name names.
Yeah. Ever since I was going to this school, these nuns have tried to fuck over me. I remember I got in a fight one time and I beat this dude up. And so, like, after I beat the dude up in a playful way, like, he couldn't catch me, so I run away. And then I duck behind something and then I pop out and I punch him. And then I run back into some other place.
Hey, but in a playful way. Did he find it playful too, or are you okay?
He was very angry. He was so upset
because it sounds like you beat someone up, and you're like, "But it was really funny." And I'm like, "I don't think he thought it was funny."
He didn't. And that's why the nun was like, "Oh yeah, that's what you want to do." So the nun came up to me and she held me right, and she put my hands like she held me with both my arms behind my back, and she was like, "All right, now get your licks back," and told the dude to come hit me.
Whoa!
Back.
I'm sorry. Do you mean mobster, not nun? Like, this seems like an old gangster movie.
These nuns smoke Marlboro Reds. So I was like, no. this is not what's happening. Like, you ain't just going, I'm not just going to allow you to hit me. And so what happened was the first time I picked my legs up and like, he hit my knees. He was like, nah, you can't move. Don't move. And she was like, all right.
You're like, my survival instinct is going to kick in. Yeah, I'm not going to just like, take these punches.
They did. And I was real twitchy. So like, he went to go punch for my stomach the second time and I dived to the side and punched her in the stomach. And then she let go, and I was like, ha ha. And so, like, he still never got his leg back.
I realize now why you like anime so much is that you are an anime character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I
and you're
a...
like, and then I, like, got to the side and punched the nun behind me. And I'm like, what?
I had a good time. I had a good time back then. And, like, they just always used to try to fuck over me and shit. And they put me in front of the class one day, and it was like, hell, be funny. And I was like, in front of these people? So what I did is I basically followed the teacher. I walked behind her, and I mocked her, and I did fart noises and shit.
Classic for that age.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. That was it. That's all it took. That's all it took. And I did a few Urkel voices, and it was like, oh, we like him. And I was like, this is
10, you were like a hack comedian.
I had no idea what the hell I was supposed to be doing. I was like, I don't get any of this, and yet did you just put me in front of a whole bunch of students and say be funny? Like, these kids don't know what I'm doing in here. I'm in the third grade, okay?
That is such a weird punishment.
Very, very much so. Very much so. Like, I got offered candy for just being quiet. If you be quiet long enough, like, the teacher used to take one of the hourglasses and she would flip it over and she was like, all right, if you can be quiet for as long as this hourglass until the sand runs out, I'll give you some candy. I was like, oh shit.
Ooh, that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I would do that. I was about that. I was like, okay, all right, I guess I can be quiet, but if you don't tell me what happens next in James and the Giant Peach, goddammit, I might be got right. They used to read to us and shit, and that was the only time I could be quiet. Like, when I have a story read to me.
Oh, yeah, because then you're not just, like, fidgeting around. You're, like, still
yeah, that's like an audio
adventure.
Book.
Yeah.
That was like an audio. And that was the first book that I actually was interested in and got through completely was James and the Giant Peach. Because every day she would read it to us.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is cool. I can deal with this.
You're like, I like this part.
Yeah, as long as I ain't got to read it, because my reading and comprehension is terrible. I prefer to soak it all in and be able to create my own imagination from it. And then the movie came out, and I was like, ooh.
And then they're like, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. That's what I had in my mind. That was it.
Oh, good. You were, like, satisfied by the movie?
I was very satisfied.
Okay, good. I feel like that's so rare when you have, like, this is what these people look like.
Yeah.
I'm even afraid. I'm seeing one of my favorite podcasts is Criminal. And she's coming to New Orleans. Mm. And I'm like, I haven't really looked up ever what she looks like. And I'm like, I'm kind of afraid to see what she looks like. Because I like love this woman's voice so much. And I picture her a certain way.
Oh, really?
And I bet she's not going to look like that. It's just like, odds are she doesn't.
I do have that fear sometimes. Like, oh, this is not the person that I thought that was talking. I had no idea.
Yeah. Do you know the band Coheed and Cambria?
No.
There's the lead singer has this like real like that punky like wee voice like that real and he's this huge dude, and so it's like you hear the songs and then you see who sang them and you're like, this makes no sense.
Yeah,
that's the prime example I have.
That's like an MC Chris. If you have my backpack's got jets, I'm Boba Fett. In MC Chris, he's probably in his 40s right now, but he has a very very high pitched voice. If you ever watch Aqua Team Hunger Force, he was that little spider that
I've never watched Aqua Team
Hunger Force. Oh, well, yeah, it's very strange. I think it's something. I want to say like Andy Milonakis, but Andy Milonakis just has that Benjamin Button shit where he just
he looks like a child, but he's in his whatevers.
Yeah, but his voice is just very high pitched, and I don't think he can change it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, this has been fun, Laura.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yes, and if you want to go ahead and plug anything and let them know where they can find you at, and
when is this coming out?
This will be a minute before.
A minute, okay. Yeah. So then, overall, find me on laurasanders.fun is my website.
You got a dot fun.
Awesome. I got a dot fun because Laura Sanders is such a common name that there's no hope of me getting laurasanders.com. It's been taken forever.
But you was able to get a dot fun. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Laurasanders.fun. And then also Killing It Comedy is in the new show I just launched. And you can always find out ticket info at killingitcomedy.com.
Boom. Which she is doing a new 15 minutes every month because what she does is she brings people on to do a new 15 minutes every month. Mm-hmm. So since she's the host, she's got to come up with a new 15.
Me and Lauren Malera.
Every month. Woo! That's something else. That is a feat right there.
I'm tired already.
That is racking that brain, goddammit. I love it. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
This has been a good time, goddammit. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the guy on Chasing a Dream. I have been your host, Monaco Menace. Good night.
Goodbye. We did it.